Welcome and shalom to Missionary Enterprises, Missionary Aid International on YouTube. This is program number 10. This is February 9th, Sunday, 2014. This is part 5 of the series called Your Inoculation Against Deception. So it's a continuation, of course. We've already covered a lot of ground in certain areas. And I'm just going to go back once again to sowing the word. Sowing the word. It's a big part of your inoculation against deception, your protection against your against deception. I appreciate. You know, I mean, a week ago, I'm very candid, and I don't think she'll mind. I had to talk with David's mother, Marta, and she just had some things, some suggestions and things like that. And she mentioned, you know, you didn't even mention the word inoculate. What does it mean? And then we finished the series, we finished the study this morning, and David went home for a little bit, and I said, my goodness, I didn't even touch on the word inoculate yet. But that's okay. That's going to come up. And in my notes next week, or we're doing the French next week, so it's going to come up. It's coming up. But basically, the word inoculate means to protect yourself. So I'm going to go into great detail in the word inoculate. You know, but the important thing is here is how do I inoculate myself against deception? You know, we're going to get into the word inoculate from Webster's and different dictionaries and all that, and get into the Latin and the English and the French and different things like that. We're going to get into all that. But I want to get you into doing what you need to do to inoculate yourself against deception. Now. Not tomorrow. Now. You know? Because there's no freedom in deception. There's no freedom. And God's all about freedom. Deception is of the devil. And in deception, there's bondage. You know? So that's why, anyhow, we're going to move on. Back to this whole realm. I use the word realm very carefully because it is a realm. And I don't really have time to get into that, but this whole realm of sowing the word, which I must emphasize or add much emphasis to. Why? Because we already know that, first of all, the word, we're talking about sowing the word is Christ. The Word is God. John 1:1. In the beginning, before all time, the Amplified, was the Word, brackets Christ, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God Himself. You know, John 1:14, the Word became flesh. Revelations 19:13, I love this verse. He is dressed in a robe dyed of dipping in blood, by dipping in blood, and the title by which he is called is the Word of God. The Word of God. The Word. You know, I spent years reading books. Books on the history of the church. Books about the book. Books on the book. Until the Lord got a hold of me one day at work. I was working for Morrell. I was working installing tiles. And the Lord spoke to me, my word demands your full attention. And I didn't even really respond as I ought to at that time. But later on I realized, uh-oh, big mistake. You know, I wasn't given his word my full attention. And I'll tell you something right now, this is not even my notes, but I'm going to say it anyhow. God's word don't change. God don't change. His word don't change. We got different translations. But God don't change. God's word don't change. The same word that they had back 2,000 years ago doesn't change. God don't change. That's why we need to sow the word to build faith, because God don't change. God is the performer of his word. I tell you, I've been sowing the word in some areas for 6 years. And one day God is going to perform it, because I'm going to have the faith for it. Thank God, God doesn't change his word. Imagine if God had changed his word the day before I got the faith built enough for God to perform his word. God's word don't change. That's encouraging. That's what that Gary brought that out one time on one of his tapes. It doesn't matter what you go through. God's word doesn't change. God is so committed to his word because God is the word. That's how committed. He is so committed to himself. We have such a good God. You know, 2 weeks ago, on my bike ride, and I didn't do a lot of bike riding my last month because we spent a lot of time, David and I, and working together, working on my journal, stuff like that, and just the way it worked out, I didn't have a lot of time to go biking. But I had 2 days that I went biking because I was fasting less last month, and I was not even 15 minutes from my house here. And this is how encouraging God is. He said, expect good things from me. Expect good things from me. And he gave me a verse, Romans 10:15. And I had never even seen this verse before. The preaching of the gospel of peace, but also of good things. Expect good things from me, Pierre. That's encouraging right there. Woo! So anyhow, the word is Christ. Why sowing the word? The word is Christ. The word is God. Do whatever you want with this. You're sowing God. Yeah? God has given himself in seed form. I got a whole study on that. God himself has given himself in seed form. He's given his attributes, a lot of his attributes, not all of them, not his deity, but yet we are partakers of the divine nature. That's something right there that we're going to be looking at down the road. You know, God has given himself in seed form. A lot is character. You know, Bible says, God says, imitate me as my children. God has given a lot of his character traits in seed form for the soul to be transformed to. The other point is the word of truth. The word is God. But the word is the word of truth. John 17:17. Sanctify them. Purify, consecrate, separate them for yourself. Make them holy by the truth. Your word is truth. The word is truth. God is truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. You know? So in sowing the word, you're sowing Christ. You really are. Back to Galatians 4:19. Paul travailed, labored, toiled, so that Christ can be formed in the believers. That's one of the big words, big verses God gave me back in 2007. Changed my whole life. Changed my whole walk with God. The word is the word of truth. The word will make you free. John 8:32. And you will know the truth. Now I know that's a half quote. I know some of you are going, what about the rest? Yeah, we're going to get into it. And you will know the truth. And the truth will make you free. There's a difference between being set free and being made free. We won't get into that right now. But the word, the truth, will make you free. The word of truth will make you free. The word will make you free. Jesus will make you free. God will make you free. Listen to this. We're going to put this on the screen. We're putting a lot of this stuff on the screen, but I don't want you to miss this right here. This is all part of your inoculation against deception. Your protection against deception. And the more you protect yourself, you can protect others. I mentioned this to David's mother the other day about this word protect. I remember when God gave me this. Now, he gave me it in a book. God teaches me a lot of things out of books, the Greek and Hebrew and stuff like that. When I came across the word poimen, I had asked the Lord, what is a pastor? Well, first of all, the word pastor is from the Latin, pastorum. And really, the word pastor should not even exist in the English text. It just should. It does not do justice to the word poimen. It should at least shepherd, at least minimum shepherd, you know. But what is a shepherd? What, not only what is a shepherd, what does a shepherd do? What does a poimen do? Well, the word poimen comes from the root word to protect. Jesus being the chief shepherd, he has under shepherds. They're supposed to, one of their main objectives as a shepherd of a flock in a local body is to protect. Mm-hmm. To protect. Protect the sheep. Protect the believers. Protect them from what? What do you think? Your inoculation against deception. That's a no-brainer. Protect them from error, deception, false teaching, false indoctrination, false interpretations. Yeah. And like I told her, I said, well, where's the false indoctrination coming from? I'm not even talking about that in the world. I'm talking about false indoctrination concerning God and His Word. Where's it coming from? It's come from the pulpit. Not everywhere. But that's where doctrine comes from, right? From the pulpit, from the television, from the radio, from DVDs, CDs. You know? So this is why the series is being taught. Thank God. God is out to protect us against deception. But there's something that we have to do to protect ourselves. And it's found in the Word. The truth of God's Word, the truth of God's Word, thy Word is truth. The Word is the Word of truth. The Word will make you free. The Word is Christ. A lot of things. I'm just touching on a few things here. The truth of God's Word will, guaranteed, will free you. Now, I didn't do a word study here, but I looked this up a couple weeks ago and literally has the idea of to exempt you. Make you exempt. It's powerful. Very powerful. Will free you. From what? From error. Why? Well, what's the context? Truth. It'll free you from a lot of things. But Jesus is talking, he showed me this a couple months ago. The truth, once you know the truth will make you free from error. Because the opposite, the antonym of error is truth. And the opposite of truth is error. There is no truth in error. There is none. There is none. It can't exist. They cannot coexist. Truth and error cannot coexist with God. They do coexist in a lot of people's preaching. I've heard preachers, because I know more truth now than ever, I've heard a guy going from making a statement full of truth, and in within the same breath, within the same minute, he goes right into error. Yeah, we're all susceptible to that. But I'm getting free from that for myself and for what God has called me to do. As well as there is no error in truth. They are antagonistic. They are complete opposites. They oppose one another. Truth and error oppose one another. That's why, in the Little Johns, the verse is just coming up to me right now, the reference, I should say, in the Little Johns, talks about the spirit of truth versus the spirit of error. There you go. You know? So, just a little final note here on what we're talking about here. When sowing the word, when you're sowing the word, when you're speaking the word, when you're meditating the word, when you're confessing God's word, when you're listening to the word with the headphones or however, it's better to listen with headphones while you're speaking in tongues, because if you're just playing out loud and you're speaking in tongues, you're going to miss out on a lot of things that the Word has to say. So that's why I really encourage, that's why we did the introduction there. We had the headphones And I had the headphones on the bus, John Wesley's bus here, you know, to really make emphasis on that. So when sowing the word, you're sowing, believe it or not, Christ. Yeah, Galatians 4:19, Christ be formed in you. You're sowing truth. You're sowing freedom. Freedom. Freedom from what? Freedom from error. Freedom from sin. Freedom from wrong doctrine. Freedom from disease. Freedom from poverty. Freedom from fear. Freedom from everything that we lost at the fall. That was the whole point of the substitution. To get us free from all that. And unfortunately, a lot of believers are not walking into freedom that Jesus paid for at the cross. But that's all good about the change. This is what this ministry is all about, this work that God has given us. That's what it's all about, is bringing freedom to the believer and also to the unbeliever. The last one here I didn't mention. It came to me before we did the recording. I was just closed my eyes a little bit and did a lot of writing this morning. And this, it came to me, and I know the Lord gave this to me. Sowing the word, you're sowing faith. You're sowing faith. More specifically, you're sowing the faith of God. Meaning, what God believes. Now, I wrote down two references here. Romans 10, the first one, is verse 8. Now, this is a little bit wordy, the Amplified. The word is near you, on your lips and in your heart. That is, the word of faith. The word, the message, the basis, an object of faith which we preach. The word of faith. So the word produces faith. Right? Romans 10:17. So faith comes by hearing what is told. And what is heard comes by the preaching of the message that comes from the lips of Christ, the Messiah himself. That's the Amplified. But the word produces faith. So, sowing the word, you're sowing faith. You're sowing the faith of God. In your soul. You're sowing God. You're sowing Christ. You're sowing truth. You're sowing freedom. You're sowing a lot of things. Because with the sowing of the Word of God, I'm getting a little ahead of myself here, comes images, imageries of the Word, which is Dave Robertson's got a great teaching on that. That's where I got it from. And truth is truth. I don't care where I get it from. As long as I get truth, you know, I love getting it from the Holy Spirit himself, but you know what? I'm not one of those guys that get something from a preacher and it's truth. I share their name. I give credit where it's due. And another reason I do that is because I'm out to build the body of Christ, to edify the body. Good ministries out there, we're going to talk about those ministries. And hopefully one of these days we're going to have some of these ministries on our programs and stuff like that, when we get on television, things like that. We're gonna, whether they're on with us or whether it's just their programs, we are out to promote the truth. We are out to promote the body of Christ. That's a big thing that God has put on my heart over the years, is unity in the body. You know? So when I come across a really good ministry, and I'm believing God, I've been believing God for quite a few years now for the right ministries, so that I can learn from and stuff like that, and I can promote and encourage and let other people know about them. I do that because I'm going to give an account one day to the Lord Jesus, what I've done with what he's given me. And it's his ministry, not mine. Mission Enterprise doesn't belong to me. I'm a steward of it, you know, but it's not mine. It's not Piagu Says Ministries or anything like that. It's Missionary Enterprise. And it's his ministry. It's a continuation of his ministry on planet Earth. If he gets to actually govern it through you, if he gets to steward it through you. If he doesn't, if you're doing it your own strength, then it's not his, even though he gave it for him to steward it through you. So all of this is all about your inoculation, your protection against deception, which ultimately can all be summed up or wrapped up in one word: the gospel, the good news. The good news. I hear things today, and it's like, there's no good news to that. It's actually bad news. There's just no good news to it. When I hear a preacher saying, and I won't mention his name because I like him, but when I hear a preacher saying that it's not God's will for everybody to be healed, and I know he's not the only one who said it, but I just heard him about a year ago, and it's like, I'm glad I knew better. It's not God's will for everybody to be healed. All right. It's not in my notes, but I'm gonna harp on this. I got 10 minutes here. If it's not God's will for everybody to be healed, so that means it's God's will for some people to be healed. So who? Now that right there can frustrate you and confuse you, right? Well, who is it? But by the time I get done with this, which I'll take about a minute, it'll clarify everything. Because it is God's will for everybody to be healed. Saved, healed, I mean, even in Titus, or 1 Timothy 2:4, I believe, it's, I'll just make sure I don't want to give out verses, you know, but it says that it's God's desire for all men to be saved, sozoed, and come to the accurate, precise knowledge of the truth. So if it's God's will for everybody to be saved, sozoed, and the word sozo in the Greek is translated, and many times in the Gospels, healing, when Jesus healed somebody, you know, if it's God's, since, not if, since it's God's will for every human being to be saved from hell, it's God's will for every human being to be healed. If it's not God's will, the reference here, sorry about that, I'll find it here, 1 Timothy 2:4, I believe. It's God's will for everybody to be healed. If it's not, why are you running to the doctor? Yes, 2:4, 1 Timothy 2:4. Why are you running to the doctor? Why are you going after an operation? Why are you spending money? Why are you going to the pharmacy? Why are you changing your diet if it's not God's will for you to be healed and walk in hell? I mean, when I got born again, I had a lot of health issues because of the drugs I ingested and the alcohol and all that. It caused a lot of problems. Had no faith for healing, stuff like that. And I discovered all the stuff, I don't like to use all the minerals, enzymes, vitamins, and all these different things that God had put in fruits and vegetables and whole grains and all that. And, you know, it didn't dawn on me right away. But later on, the more I got into God and God began to reveal things, I read good books and all that, there you go. I mean, if it wasn't God's will for everybody to be healthy, why would he put all this healthy stuff in food? And we're putting there's such a big push out there. It's been going on for, I don't know, 10, 15 years, whatever, but even lately in the schools and all that, trying to get our kids to eat better and all this, putting more emphasis on fruits and vegetables and whole grains, and the whole health and health food industry is just, it's booming, and they're making a lot of money, and unfortunately, I think they're ripping a lot of people off for some of this stuff. But I'll tell you, God has put this stuff in there so we can have health, for crying out loud. You know? And let's go back to the garden. This is where I put the nail in the coffin here. Let's go back to the garden. There was no sickness in the garden. There was no disease. So that's God's original will for mankind. If we're a preacher or preachers to say that it's not God's will to be healed when you're sick or to be healthy is totally contradicting the word of God. Once you understand the full counsel of God, it's the same thing as saying that it's not God's will for everybody to prosper. Well, read Genesis, where God put the gold in the garden and put all these precious stones and read Revelation about heaven, what heaven's going to be all like. And Jesus taught, you know, that your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Like, give me a royal break. I was so gullible years ago to all this stuff. You know, and I'm getting free, and we're going to free other people. The truth will set you free. We'll make you free. This is what it's all about. None of this is on my notes. But it's good, because some of you need to hear this. Because some of you, unfortunately, you are sitting in churches where they're saying, they're teaching these things. And I'm not against the churches. I'm not against the pastors. But we are out to bring correction to the body of Christ. We're God's children. And God wants us healthy. Why? So that we can accomplish. No, not so you can go and sin. and do your own thing so that you can accomplish God's will. I just came back from Africa in September last year. To me, it's like it was yesterday. And I had some things happen to me. But I'll tell you, overall, I was in shape, you know. And I'll tell you, I had a lot of walking to do. And I'll tell you, the pollution out there and things like that. And thank God I had a pretty good immune system and things like that. You got to be healthy to go to some of these places. You got to be healthy just to live in Canada and the colder climates and stuff like that. You need to be healthy. When I did tracks door to door for 2.5 years, I had to be healthy. My goodness. You got to be healthy to go to work every day. You know? You got to be healthy to raise a family and to have a good relationship with your spouse and different things like that. Health is of God. Anyhow, the good news. You're hearing good news. Good news. The gospel. It's good news. The good news is many things and has many diversities and varieties to it. And one of it is, you're right. You're right. Should have made a study on that. We will down the road, but I should have put it on there. You're right. I did a huge study on that. My rights, my privileges, my benefits as a son of God, as part of a new creation. We have rights. We have benefits. We have privileges that those of the race of the old creation, of the race of the first Adam in his fallen state, don't have. Now, they can join a race. That's what preaching the gospel is. Get them born again. But we have rights that we need to find out about. Now, I don't have time to get into that right now. But we have rights as sons of God to protect ourselves, to inoculate ourselves against all kinds, any kind or all kinds of deception, which includes error, falsehood, doctrines that demons teach. Talks about that in pastoral epistles. False indoctrination, false interpretations, false religions, false systems of beliefs, false philosophies. You know, all these different things, all these different faiths, all these different religions out there, cults, all that stuff. None of that existed before the fall. None of it. It all came because of the fall. That's why I believe in Jude, Philippians, and maybe another place that talks about Paul, the Apostle Paul talks about contending for the faith. Among many other faiths. That's why Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. In the Greek, it's the article, the definite article, the, T-H-E, it's an emphasis. It puts out, I am the way. Among many other ways out there, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. That's what he's saying. Contending for the faith. There's a lot of faiths out there. But there's only, according to God, there's only one faith. And that faith is what God believes. The God of the Bible. Rightly interpreted. Rightly taught. Rightly divining the word of truth. You know, these are all things that we need to get into down the road. Also, I'll just have a drink here. We already know, according to Hebrews 4:12, not going to get into it, but I made much about that concerning the word kritikos. The word of truth, the word, it's alive, it's active, etc. Empowering, enabling you. You know, God loves to empower us. To enable us. I started doing huge word studies back in 2007, 2008. All these power words and all this stuff is going to be made all available. I got a lot of this written down and we're putting my notes together right now and we're going to have more people on the team to help me with all these notes and all that. And all this stuff is going to be, whoo, we're going to get out there. We're going to take full advantage of all the media resources out there. We're taking hold of the airwaves. That's all there is to it. I'm declaring that. I declare that every day. The truth, the word, empowering you and enabling you, your soul, your sense man, that's the part of you that needs transformation. That's part of you that needs to be sozoed. James 1:21. That's the part of you that Christ needs to be formed in you. Galatians 4:19. Will empower your soul to become kritikos, to become discerning, etc. We already did a lot of word studies on that, so go back in the other studies. Go back into the other programs concerning this. Towards what? Hebrews 4:12. The thoughts, the intents, and the motives of the heart. Of the heart. Whose heart? God's heart? No. Whose heart? Number one, look at yourself in the mirror. Look at your own heart. That's where we need to start. That's called self-examination. God got on me on this years ago. Your own heart. Not only regarding your own heart, but also everyone else's around you. Yes, God wants to empower you, to enable you, to protect yourself, to inoculate yourself against deception. He wants you to become kritikos, discerning towards your own motives, the heart, the motives of your own heart, and also those around you. Those around you. And I made a list here of those that could be around you. Listen, we've all been there. But I wrote here, including your neighbor, your neighbors, family members, plural, close friends, your favorite pastor or pastors, preachers. That's God's will. Not to go around slandering anybody? No, 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 no. No, I don't teach that. No, I had to get free from slandering myself. Took me a while. I had to do a lot of fasting. But God wants us to be protected, empowered us to be protected. But God needs something from us so that we can protect ourselves. So much for God's sovereignty, isn't it? I just wrote here, in closing, the sown word will make you judgmental in the right sense of the word, as in judging with righteousness. John 7:24. Be honest in your judgment, and do not decide at a glance, superficially and by appearance, but judge fairly and righteously. You know? So, I leave you with that. My time is up. The rest of this is going to be in a couple weeks from now, because we're doing the French next week. So we're going to finish off. But I want to close with this. Not only remember that we are on your side. And I got this from Brian Lilly of Byline on Sun News TV. I give credit where I get it, where it's due. But you know what? God is on your side. The word says, if God is for you, who can be against you? Well, there's only one person out there who's against you. That's the enemy. That's the god of this world. So, see you for now. Shalom. And share this with your friends, even unsaved ones. Share this. And we appreciate you. And we'll talk to you soon. Amen.